Good morning. I want to wish all you ladies a happy Mother's Day. As Victor McLaughlin said in the movie, The Quiet Man, where would any man be without a mother? So this is a day that we honor our mother. Amen. I think that was the point of his question. I want to speak today about a woman of great faith. A text taken from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. I thank you, Father, for the truth of your word, that the fact that you have preserved it over the centuries and left it here for us to read. Lord, that we may learn from it, that we may learn about you, that we may learn about ourselves, and may learn about the precepts that you have left for us. I pray a blessing this morning on all who are here and those who couldn't be here. I ask this morning that you especially bless our mothers. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many women in the Bible whose stories would provide a sermon text for Mother's Day. There's Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Greg spoke at the communion table about Mary's great sacrifice as a mother, that she had to stand and watch her son die a slow, agonizing death. Hannah, of course, hadn't had any children, and she prayed and said, "God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And after she weaned him, she took him to Eli, and he stayed in the temple, or in the tabernacle with Eli, and was raised by him. Jochebed was the mother of Moses, and she hid Moses for 3 months because the Pharaoh had commanded all male children to be killed. But then one day she put him in a basket, put him in the Nile River among some reeds, and literally left him in God's hands. So there are women who have made great sacrifices that the scriptures speak of. And this woman today, the Bible doesn't even name her. It just says a woman. She was a Canaanite by birth, Syrophoenician. By culture and language, she was a Greek. By religion, a pagan. But this mother had a very unique problem. Jesus ministered in the area of Judea, and he had left there and went to the district of Tyre and Sidon, which was predominantly Gentile. It doesn't say exactly why he went there. He had been coming under a lot of fire as he ministered in Judea, and maybe the Lord just thought, "I just need a break. I just need to get a step back from this for a little bit." But this woman evidently had heard of Jesus. She may have heard him preach. It wasn't unusual for Gentiles, curious Gentiles, to come and listen to rabbis teach. And her daughter was oppressed by a demon. Oppression and possession are usually two different things. The commentators all agree that she was possessed. And it was not a physical ailment. because this mother would have sought out a doctor. This was a spiritual problem with her daughter, and she was powerless. She knew that this was a God-sized problem. As being a pagan, she might have worshipped different gods. Her child was under attack by the devil. And she did the right thing and the best thing she could do. She turned to Jesus. Blessed are the women, the mothers, that know how to turn to the Lord when their children are under this kind of attack. I just the other day talked to a family member that told me about something that happened to a niece of mine. She married, her and her husband are both Christians. They moved to Indianapolis where they're working, and their daughter, their oldest daughter, came home from school the other day very upset, said she was in tears. And when her mother asked her what's wrong, she said, "Our teacher told us today we were going to play house." And she paired them up, boy, boy, girl, girl, and said, families can have two daddies or two mommies. Well, the daughter spoke up and said, that's not right. And the teacher rebuked her. And she said, you don't have any right to say that's wrong. And so, basically, they played same-sex marriage family. And when the daughter come home and told mom and dad, they pulled her out of this school, and now they're paying out of their pockets for her to go to a private Christian school. And I tell you that story to tell you today, moms and dads, your children are under attack by the devil. And if you're a public school teacher, please don't take offense at this, but our public schools are now ruled by the spirit of the devil. The doctrines of demons are being taught to our children. So this sermon text applies to you today. There's a lot we can learn, men and women, but especially mothers. There's a lot you can learn from this woman whom the writers didn't even bother to get her name. Her prayer was urgent. It said she was crying out to Jesus. Her prayer was a prayer of faith. She called him Lord and Son of David. She evidently believed that Jesus could heal her daughter. Now, the commentators I read said they think she was mimicking the phrases she'd heard the Jews call David by, because she probably wouldn't understand who Son of David was, but that's their opinions. My opinion is that she used those titles specifically. Lord in the Greek is Kyrios, and it means supreme one, master. It can also mean sir. Son of David was a term for the Messiah, for the Christ. And she may have been parroting what she heard, but I think it goes a little deeper than that. Maybe she had seen some of his miracles. She had at least heard about him. Jesus did not do things in a corner about everybody in the Roman Empire, occupied empire, had heard about this man named Jesus. And she came to him in urgency, and she cried out after him. And when we read that, it's easy to think, well, she came up, said, Lord, help me. But according to the commentaries, the Greek, it was a continuous crying. She dogged the Lord's heels, put it in my terms. She was on his heels and she was saying, Lord, Son of David, help me. Lord, Son of David, help me. Lord, Son of David, help me. And his disciples had got their fill of it and they said, would you shut her up and send her away? We're getting a little embarrassed by this. Everybody's looking at us. She's calling all this attention over here. And Lord, just tell her no. Just tell her to shut up and go away. Tell her that you won't do this. But Jesus didn't do any of that. It seems a little strange to us. And maybe to her, he ignored her. The Bible says he wouldn't even answer her, which makes me think he didn't turn around and look at her. He didn't speak to her. He just kept going where he was going. And she followed him persistently and urgently, calling out to him. She wasn't going to take no. And Jesus' disciples said, send her away. She cries out after us. Jesus didn't send her away. He didn't say no, but he didn't talk to her. He did tell his disciples, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At this time, the Lord's mission on the earth was for the nation of Israel. He came to call the Jews to repentance. Now, he knew what he was going to do. He knew that when he died on that cross and was raised again, that salvation would be open to all people, but at this time, it was not. She was not a daughter of Abraham. She was not a covenant child of God's, but she would not be dissuaded. It wasn't that Jesus did not want to help her, but he pointed out, I'm not here for you right now. I am not here to help you right now. My focus is on the people of Israel. But she still came to Jesus. She wouldn't shut up. She wouldn't let up. When Jesus was teaching his disciples about prayer, in the Gospel of Luke it's recorded, he said, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened, ask and you shall receive. And again, the commentaries I've read on the Greek said what the Greek is saying, Jesus said, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And I've been guilty in my own life at times of thinking, if I pray about something one time, God's got it, I don't have to bring it up again. But that's not what the Lord taught us. He said, you keep asking God, you keep seeking God, then you'll receive. It says in the book of Hebrews that whoever comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Diligence is not a one-time thing. Diligence is a lifetime thing. The old-timers used to call it praying through. You pray till you get an answer, whether it's yes or no. Jesus told his people, God will avenge his people who cry out to him day and night. There again, there's a diligence with that. There's a persistence. And this pagan showed the persistence he told the children of Israel, you ought to be showing. His men were embarrassed. They were irritated. They said, send her away. We're tired of her calling out to us. But the Lord didn't send her away. He didn't talk to her, but he didn't send her away. And where'd she stay? Right on his heels. She stayed persistent. She didn't change her request. She finally got in front of him. In my mind's eye, I see her behind him. Lord, Son of David, have mercy. Lord, Son of David, have mercy. And she finally got to a vantage point. I think the Lord had sat down. And she run around and got in front of him and then knelt. Not in protest, but in humility. She got on her knees before him and said, Lord, help me. And the Lord told her what he said to his disciples, only he said, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. A dog was a term that the Jews used for Gentiles or non-Jews. A dog was an unclean animal. So it wasn't really a compliment when a Jew called you a dog, but it became a term that was used quite frequently. And when you think about it, this woman could have got angry. Did you just call me a dog? Who do you think you are? She could have got up and walked away angry and blamed God for her problem. Well, I tried, but God didn't answer me, so heck with their God. I'll just go home and put up with this demon-possessed child the rest of my life, and I'll tell everybody I meet that Jesus is a phony. I went to him for help, and he called me a dog. But that did not deter her. Her answer to him was, "Yes, Lord." When Jesus said, "You're not one of the people that I came here to minister to. And it's not right for me to take what belongs to my people and give it to you. The bread, the signs, the healings." Jesus said, "It's not right. It's not time. It's not your time yet." But you look at the faith of this woman in the next statement she made. First, she submitted and said, "Yes, Lord, I understand." But she said, "I'm not asking for the bread. Just give me some of the crumbs. That's enough. That is all I need, Lord." Reminds me of the centurion who had a sick servant. And the Jewish elders came to Jesus and said, "Please go heal this guy because he loves our nation. He's built a synagogue for us. He's worthy for you to go heal this servant." And Jesus was on his way to the house, and it said the centurion sent his servants out there and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just speak the word. I too am a man who has authority." A centurion was in command of 100 men. And he said, "I tell this guy go do this. I tell my servant go do that." He said, "I don't have to see if they're doing it. I know they'll do it." And the centurion said, "I feel that way about you. You don't have to come in here and touch my servant. Just say the word." And he said, the Lord turned around and marveled. In amazement, he turned around and looked at all these Jews following him and said, "I haven't found this kind of faith in Israel. This is the kind of faith you're supposed to have. And this pagan has the faith that you should have." And it was the same way with this woman. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think when she made that statement, Jesus' next statement showed his pleasure. "Oh woman, great is your faith." It moved him. And he gave her what she asked for. I just see Jesus saying, "I can't let this go. I can't drop this. I can't ignore you anymore. What faith?" And he said, "Mama, you go home. And it's going to be done exactly what you've believed is going to be done." And what's the Bible said? Her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus granted her her request. Because her faith was great, her prayers were persistent. Mothers, the best person that you can entrust the welfare and safety of your children to is to the Lord God Almighty. Nobody loves them as he does. He loves them more than you. If you can believe that as a mother. My mother had a fierce love for her children. She could wail on us, but woe be to somebody else that tried. She'd get just angry as a she-bear when somebody messed with her kids. And yet God loves your children more than you do. He's more concerned about the welfare of their souls than you are. If there's anything to carry away from this today, ladies, when you have lost children, you have children out in the world, and they are caught up in the world. And you see the devil all over them, if I can say it that way. Pray in faith. Pray persistently. Pray diligently. Don't get out of God's face. I'm not talking about demanding anything. I've heard people say, well, you just got to demand that God do this. There's nowhere in the scriptures that says that. God said, ask of me, and I'll do it. Nowhere does he say, you tell me what to do, and I'm going to just bend over backwards and run to do it. But you see what happened to this mother? She wouldn't quit. She wouldn't let go. She wouldn't leave the Lord alone until he gave her an answer. She either wanted him to say, no, I'm not going to do this, or yes, I will do this. And even when the Lord explained to her why he wasn't answering her, she just said, I understand that, but I'm not asking for all of your power, all of what you have. I know just a little bit's enough to deliver this kid. That was her major problem. She probably had other problems, but her kid was involved. That was the most important thing to her in her life. And moms today, your children, especially if they're in the public schools and they're out here in the world, they are under satanic attack, and you need to get before God and you need to cry out to God and you need not to let God alone. This is a spiritual war we are in, church. You don't fight it with weapons of the flesh. You fight it in the Spirit, through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's where the power lies for the church. Amen. My mother was not a Christian until I got older. But I saw a change in her after she came to Christ. And I saw a change in the way she dealt with me. She told me one time after I became a Christian, I'd almost given up on you. She said, the more I prayed, the meaner you got. The more I prayed, the nastier you got. She said, I confided in a girlfriend, I just don't know if there's any use praying. And she said, no, you never give up on that. And mom said, I just kept praying. And then when I came to Jesus Christ, she rejoiced. And then she began to share with me about how much she prayed for me, how much sorrow I put her through as the oldest son. And I look back on that, I'm sorry. And I told my mom that before she died. I said, I am sorry for all the heartache I caused you. But she was so happy with my salvation, she was like, what sorrow? God heard me. Look where you're at now. Still need a lot of work, but I mean, compared to what you used to be, yeah. And she told me she was so glad she didn't quit praying. I want to encourage you all, church, this morning, especially moms, when you're praying for your loved ones, they will get meaner, nastier, blinder, you name it. The devil will work harder. You just pray harder. Because we got a God on our side that says, I got this. But he doesn't promise instantaneous results. Now, this girl was healed instantly. It amazes me, Jesus didn't even have to go lay a hand on her. He said, Mama, she's healed. She went, whew, praise the Lord, thank you. And went home, and there was her kid in her right mind. The demon was gone. She made an impression on the Lord. This pagan woman made an impression on our Lord. Her faith was strong, and she wouldn't shut up until Jesus answered. I love that story. If you're here this morning, and most of us have lost family, don't quit praying. Don't give up. I love the story when Daniel prayed for 21 days and fasted because he realized their 70 years was almost up and he was seeking God. And it said on the 21st day, Gabriel appeared and he said, the minute you opened your mouth, God sent me with an answer, but the prince of the king of Persia has withstood me these 21 days, and Michael came and helped me so I could come and give you the answer. That's amazing. This archangel said the minute you start praying, God said, Gabriel, go tell him this. And this demon met him and withstood him for 21 days trying to keep him from getting an answer to Daniel, and tag team angel wrestling. Michael come down and said, I got this, you go. And Gabriel went and said, whew, I finally got here. But he said, the minute you open your mouth, God had an answer. I love that story because it reminds me that there's no time frame. There's no time limit. You can't put God in a box. And so often we want to pray and say, well, I guess God isn't listening, or God said no because he's not saying yes as far as I can see. But the answer could be on the way, church. There's still demons in the heavenly realm still withstanding what the Lord's doing. We got to remember that. This is spiritual war. The biggest mistake we Christians make, and I'm talking about myself, we get in the flesh and we fight with people. That's not our enemy. Our enemy is the devil, and he's a very powerful enemy. He's a very intelligent enemy. And if you try to fight him apart from the power of Jesus Christ, you're going to get gut stomped. And you're going to lose the battle. So take a lesson from this pagan who evidently believed in who Jesus Christ was. And she prayed urgently and she prayed persistently and she would not be deterred. She didn't quit until she got an answer. Would you stand this morning? I thank you for the promises of your word, Lord. Forgive me for the times that I don't pray enough. Forgive me for the times that I think that I have it, that I don't need to talk to you. I don't need to confer with you. Oh, Lord God, my prayer for these mothers today is that you would bless them. My prayer for this church today is that you would bless us. Let your spirit fall upon us, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.